This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Breaking news, multiple officers shot in Charlotte.
He's going to be shots fired at officer. Two down, subjects barricaded himself.
Tonight, the new information just coming in after at least three members of law enforcement are killed while serving a warrant.
It sounded like World War III.
The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening, I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We're going to begin with that breaking news, a deadly attack on federal and local law enforcement officers in Charlotte, North Carolina. As we come on the air, the FBI is now among multiple law enforcement agencies at the scene of a suburban home where three members of a U.S. Marshal task force were killed and five others injured while executing a fugitive warrant. We are just learning that arrest warrant was for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and two occupants of that house are now being questioned. There were reports that as many as 100 shots rang out in the neighborhood. This is the latest ambush attack on law enforcement officers following a similar incident last night in Kenner, Louisiana, where three officers were shot and survived. Chief investigative reporter Nick Oxner of our CBS affiliate WBTV will lead us off tonight from Charlotte.
Shots fired at officer, possibly one down. Subjects, correction, two down, subjects barricaded himself.
Just before 2 p.m., a U.S. Marshals task force was attempting to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina, when at least one suspect inside the house opened fire.
Tragically, there were three members of the U.S. Marshals task force who were pronounced deceased, and there were four CMPD officers who were shot, one being in critical condition, who is now in the hospital fighting for his life.
Officers, including SWAT teams, quickly responded and shut down the neighborhood, including nearby schools.
We were driving by. We heard about over 100 gunshots. It sounded like World War III.
Neighbor Tyler Wilson said the shootout lasted for 30 minutes.
There was shots ringing left and right. We had SWAT and U.S. Marshals set up snipers in our bedrooms. There was an officer got drugged by his arms through our house.
Police say one suspect has been killed, and they are questioning two other people found inside the house.
Today we lost some heroes that are out to just simply trying to keep our community safe.
Today's shooting is the deadliest day for law enforcement since July 2016, when five Dallas police officers were shot and killed during a protest against police abuse. Excluding today, 10 U.S. Marshals have been killed in the line of duty in the last 5 years. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper is en route to Charlotte as we speak. Nora?
Nick Oxner, thank you. Tonight, Columbia University has started suspending pro-Palestinian student protesters who are refusing orders to break down their tent city in the center of campus. More arrests were also made today on campuses across the country, including the universities of Texas and Georgia. We get new reporting tonight from CBS's Tom Hansen.
We're staying out here. Thank you.
Today, NYPD officers were standing by as students ignored a school deadline to dismantle their encampment or face suspension.
I feel like currently there's a lot of fear from all sides and all students towards the administration.
This is the epicenter of the college protests. They started small in this tent encampment, and now they've expanded to the entire Columbia University quad. What are you protesting?
I'm protesting against an ongoing genocide of Palestine that is funded by the United States of America and that Columbia profits off of. We are protesting for divestment.
Student anger has spread nationwide. More students at the University of Texas Austin were arrested, ignoring a police command to disperse. And over a dozen students were taken into custody at the University of Georgia. Elise Preston is in California, where dozens clashed Sunday after a security barrier was breached.
Inside this pro-Palestinian encampment at UCLA, hundreds of students and faculty members voiced their solidarity. They say they'll be here as long as it takes. And UCLA says there's no timeline for the university to get rid of this encampment. Do you feel safe with this encampment and with the counter-protesters?
We don't feel safe with the counter-protesters, but we think that we're building a community here that cares about safety.
Back here at Columbia University, the students we spoke to say they have no plans on moving the tents until their demands are met or they are physically removed. The university has begun suspending students to ensure campus safety. School officials say they need the tents cleared out so they can start preparing for graduation ceremonies on May 15th. They will also have enhanced security presence on campus. Nora.
Tom Hansen, thank you very much. Communities in the central U.S. are bracing for another round of severe storms this week in the wake of a devastating tornado outbreak. A man was killed while sheltering from a tornado in Iowa. In Oklahoma, at least four people were killed, including this four-month-old baby. According to a GoFundMe page for the family, their home was tossed 200 yards with the family inside. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports from the disaster zone.
From above, it's easy to see where Mother Nature sliced through the city of Sulphur. Saturday night's tornadoes, with winds of at least 136 miles per hour, left a path of splintered trees and reduced buildings to rubble, including JJ's Furniture downtown. Joyce Mensch and her family have run two stores for 24 years. The building they own is a total loss, but they're not giving up on the business and plan to reopen elsewhere.
There's nothing here to rebuild, and I think we're just going to, whenever it's gone, it's gone.
So you may just relocate.
May relocate.
About 50 miles south, the town of Marietta also took a direct hit from an EF4 tornado with wind speeds of at least 170 miles per hour. The violent storm snapped trees and power poles, flipped over an 18-wheeler, and cut a canyon through this large warehouse.
That is huge.
Since Friday, more than 60 tornadoes have torn across the heartland, from Texas to Nebraska. Cleanup continues after a weekend tornado hit Waverly, Nebraska, outside of Lincoln.
I have not been this close to a tornado. I am still in shock.
Back in Oklahoma, crews are working nonstop to restore power and bring back some sense of normalcy. Kimberly Mensch says her mom and dad's furniture store may be gone, but the family bond is rock solid.
All of the memories that we had in here, good and bad, were all gone. But she was telling me whenever we pulled up that it's just a building and that the name JJ's will still live on and that the family will be stronger than ever.
This used to be a bar, and the owner told us she was actually trapped under this roof on Saturday for more than 40 minutes before she was rescued. Unfortunately, one of her patrons did die. People are starting to leave flowers for her. Power's still out, but crews are working nonstop to restore it. Nora?
Thinking about all of those people. Omar Villafranca, thank you so much. President Biden spoke with the leaders of Egypt and Qatar this afternoon in a renewed push for a ceasefire in the war in Gaza. We also learned today that U.S. troops are making progress in the construction of a floating pier off the coast of Gaza. It will be used to deliver much-needed humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. Meanwhile, as Israel weighs invading Rafah, a deadly airstrike hit the city where more than a million Palestinians are sheltering. We do want to warn you that some of the images are disturbing. Here is CBS's Deborah Patta.
Under pressure and running out of options, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces mounting anger. Protests have ramped up on the streets of Israel with a vengeance, demanding he make a deal to bring those in captivity home, whatever the price. But hardliners in Netanyahu's ruling coalition say his job is on the line if he delays a rougher invasion and negotiates with Hamas. His choice is stark: press ahead with Rafah or free the hostages, some of whom recently appeared in Hamas propaganda videos.
We are losing people that are alive now, and there is no time to waste.
There's been a flurry of diplomatic activity in the region, with Hamas also feeling the heat.
The only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas.
But once again, the Secretary of State made it very clear, without a plan to protect civilians, the U.S. does not support a rougher offensive, saying the terrible suffering in Gaza must end. But with three strikes overnight and another this morning in Rafah alone, that feels very far away. Days and nights filled with the moans of injured children, the tears for tiny bodies wrapped in shrouds, and the silent pain of those who've cried far too much. Everyone here is sick of war and longs for it to end.
Secretary Blinken said today that Israel has made an extraordinarily generous proposal to Hamas. There is a lot riding on it. If a deal is not reached, in all likelihood, a rougher invasion will go ahead. Nora?
We'll be watching closely. Deborah Patta, thank you so much. A Union Pacific freight train derailed today on a historic double-decker bridge in Portland, Oregon, causing major delays for commuter trains. All of the cars that derailed were empty. One is leaning against a support column, forcing the bridge to be shut down while it's assessed for structural damage. No injuries were reported. The cause of the derailment is under investigation. The race for president is coming into sharper focus, with the CBS News Battleground tracker poll showing President Biden and former President Donald Trump running neck and neck in three key states. CBS's Weijia Jiang has details from the White House.
Tonight, the Biden campaign is facing warning signs in the key swing states of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania.
You're my ticket to the White House. You, Pennsylvania. No, it's not hyperbole.
Rising prices have made the economy a top concern for voters. And in a new CBS poll, when asked if they would be financially better off under Biden or Trump, voters chose the former president by a sizable margin in each of the three states.
Registered voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania believe that they would be financially better off if Trump wins. How do you explain that?
Pandemic caused inflation to rise, caused damages to the supply chain. And so that's why the president took action. And we also understand that prices are still too high. They're still too high.
More than 60% of voters in the three battlegrounds say the economy was good during the Trump administration.
We're going to have a big victory. The polls are looking tremendous in Michigan and Wisconsin.
The former president will campaign in those two states Wednesday when his so-called hush money trial takes the day off. Still lagging behind Biden in fundraising, Trump had a private meeting Sunday with his primary rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who has told allies he's willing to raise money for the man who attacked him relentlessly.
We're up by 40 points over the sanctimonious.
As Trump continues his search for a running mate, sources say one contender's stock has dropped. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. She's under fire for revealing in a new book that she shot her dog Cricket after it misbehaved on a hunting trip, killed some chickens, and bit Noem herself.
Governor Noem is defending her action, citing a South Dakota law that says dogs that attack and kill livestock can be put down. She said the animal had bitten people before and that she was being a responsible parent, dog owner, and neighbor. Nora?
Weijia Jiang, thank you. Today, Powerball revealed the winners of the $1.3 billion ticket drawn earlier this month in Oregon. It's the fourth largest jackpot in Powerball history. CBS's Carter Evans has the remarkable story of one of the winners.
For Charlie Sapon, who came to America from Laos, winning the massive Powerball jackpot was heaven sent.
So God picked for me. Thank you.
He's been living on disability, undergoing cancer treatment for the last 8 years.
I'm still having chemotherapy. I pray to the God, need some help. Now I can bless my family and find a good doctor for myself.
As a lump sum, the payout after taxes is $422 million, which Sapon and his wife will split with a family friend.
I have feelings like I cannot win it. I can win it. But I didn't think I'm going to win this big.
For a lot of winners, the reward comes with risk. Some end up broke within a few years. Others get in trouble with taxes or go on lavish spending sprees. Like Edwin Castro, after winning his $2 billion jackpot, the largest ever, he's spending big, including this $25 million Hollywood Hills mansion. As for Sapon, the financial strain is now replaced by peace of mind.
I'm in the middle of the battling cancer, so I've been thinking, how am I going to have time to spend all of this money?
Now, the vetting process to confirm the lotto winner includes checking store security video to match the buyer with the person who turned in the ticket. The biggest holdup on this one? Lottery officials say it took 3 weeks to collect all the money for the payout. Nora?
There you go. Carter Evans, thank you so much. Runaway zebras made for a wild weekend near Seattle. We've got the details next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
A big change tonight at our parent company. Paramount Global CEO Bob Bakish announced today that he's stepping down. The company says Bakish will be replaced by a trio of senior executives, including CBS CEO George Cheeks. Bakish's exit comes as Paramount is in the middle of a possible merger negotiations with Skydance Media. Paramount owns several media brands, including Showtime, MTV, and Paramount Pictures. Runaway zebras left drivers bewildered near Seattle. Police say four zebras broke free Sunday when the driver stopped to secure the trailer on the highway. The pack galloped past restaurants and ended up in a backyard. Officers, neighbors, and even a rodeo clown helped corral the zebras. But a fourth zebra is still reportedly on the run. Keep your eye out. Tonight, we have an in-depth report on America's child care crisis, how providers and families are being impacted next. Tonight, we have an eye-opening look at America's child care crisis. Working parents across the country are struggling to cover the costs while providers are sounding the alarm that the federal funding cut last year is making it harder for them to stay afloat. CBS's Nicole Killian has our in-depth report.
Cora Hoppe was on the verge of shutting down her child care center in southeast New Hampshire.
You went from having 400,000
down to nothing, which is terrifying.
The center burned through its savings after hitting the so-called child care cliff last fall when $24 billion in federal pandemic-related subsidies expired in Congress.
What has the impact been on your center?
Devastating. We went from 90 employees down to 70, and we had to make cuts everywhere.
She used the federal money to upgrade equipment.
We're almost there, Joel.
And give raises to staff like Linnea Walker, who at one point was homeless.
You were working here at the center.
Yes.
But also homeless.
Yes. I'm taking care of other people's kids, and I was feeling very inadequate because I felt like I couldn't provide the bare essentials for my children. That's a lot of the reason why people leave the field, is because we can't afford to live, but people can't afford to pay either.
Last year, I paid $32,000 for my three children. It is more than my mortgage, for sure.
Jenna Anand has endured tuition hikes and worries she'd have to quit her job if the center closed.
I have the center and I have my husband, and that's it.
One study finds 55% of child care operators know of at least one program that has recently closed.
Our worst fears have been realized, that there are now fewer providers able to provide care for families.
While Congress approved $1 billion in child care assistance this year, the Biden administration has called for $16 billion to stabilize the sector. The only way Hoppy could keep her doors open was to beg her local city for help.
We need a fully funded system so we can support children's development and our economy. If parents and guardians have a safe place to drop off their children, they will be more productive at work.
For her, it's about investing in the future.
Hooray!
Nicole Killian, CBS News, Rochester, New Hampshire.
Definitely a problem we need to fix. A legendary WNBA player makes a huge announcement. That's next.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America, basketball legend Candace Parker is calling it a career after 16 seasons in the WNBA.
Very difficult matchup. Here's Parker using the screen.
The trailblazing power forward helped revolutionize the women's game. Her athleticism captured national attention when in 2006, she became the first woman to dunk in an NCAA tournament game. Parker was the first WNBA player to be named Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player in the same season. And she was again named MVP in 2013. Parker is also the only player in league history to win WNBA championships with three different teams. And she's also won two Olympic gold medals with Team USA. Parker is now 38 and she's had 10 surgeries in her career. And she says she needs another one in her foot. Players and coaches from around the league honored the icon after learning of her retirement.
She's kind of a goat amongst goats in the sense of she changed the game.
Because she's an amazing player, amazing mom, amazing person, and she's always been super inspiring to me.
A trailblazer on and off the court, Candace Parker, tonight's Heart of America. And that's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
If you enjoy tuning in to the CBS Evening News, there are official T-shirts, hats, mugs, and more available for purchase at ParamountShop.com. These products are perfect for any fan of evening news, and you can take 20% off with code EVENING20. That's 20% off all CBS Evening News products with code EVENING20 at ParamountShop.com.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds, but none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.